Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the Ojo Women's Initiative. My name is Hindi Mendelowitz. Today we start a whole new series within Sefer Tehillim with Perek Kuf Chaf, chapter 120. This is exciting. It's a series of 15 chapters from 120 through 134, each of which begins with a variation of Shir HaMa'alos, a song of ascents, a song of climbing, a song of going higher. And before we actually delve into the first of these 15, I'd like for us to take some time just to get an introduction to the significance of the 15 and where they can take us. Chazal tell us in Masechet Sukkah Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, B'sha'a shakara David Shitin. As we know and as we've discussed throughout our journey through Sefer Tehillim and the life of David, David's blinding ambition, David's lifelong dream, was to build the Beit HaMikdash. And at one point, he actually began. And after having assembled much of the materials, began to actually dig the foundations of the Beit HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that David was such a zariz, had such alacrity, that there was the fear that once started, he'd finish very, very, very quickly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had determined that David would not be the one to build the Beit HaMikdash. And so sent his messenger, Natan HaNavi, to David to tell him, you have to stop. This job is not yours. In the one night before he was stopped, before he had to halt this dream and pass it down as a legacy to his son Shlomo, we're told that David again began to dig the foundations and began to dig very deep wells for the libations that would accompany the karbanot, accompany the offerings in the Beit HaMikdash of water and wine. And dug so deeply that he reached the Tehom, the subterranean waters that are beneath the surface of the earth and have been there since the days of Yimei Bereshit, since the days of creation. And once he unleashed these waters, they rose up and threatened to flood the world. David, in a panic, called out, is there anywhere who knows? Is it permitted for us to write the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a piece of cheres, on a piece of pottery, and throw it into the waters, in which case it will be erased? But of course, with this, we'll save the world and stop the flood. There is no answer. David said, anyone who knows and does not say will die, will be choked. Came forward Achitophel, who had been the Rebbe of David, and he was Nosei Kavachomel. He derived the idea, if we can erase the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the case of an Isha Sota, to bring Shalom ben Ish l'Ishto, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dissolved in the waters of the Mei Sota, drunk by a woman who is suspected of infidelity, for the purpose of bringing peace, of clearing her name, so she can return back with faith and Shalom to her husband. Kavachomer, how much more so can we erase Hashem's name to save the entire world? And so, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God, was written on a piece of cheres, on a piece of pottery, and thrown into these raging waters. Immediately, the waters receded, but they went back down under the earth 16,000 amot, in which case, without their moisture, the world would be parched and dried out and would wither. David said the 15 chapters of the Shir HaMa'alot, the 15 chapters of Tehillim, beginning with the one that we'll study today, Perek Kuf Chaf. And with each one of these chapters, the waters rose 1,000 amot until, with the 15th chapter, they had risen 15,000 amot, in which case they were suspended 1,000 amot under the earth's crust, which was the perfect place, so the world would still remain moist. This episode right away sets up, firstly, the tremendous power that these Shir HaMa'alot have. The idea of rising, of ascent as the waters rose. It gives us the hint that there's actually a very deep connection between these Shir HaMa'alot and the entire idea of water, an idea that's reinforced over and over. For example, these Shir HaMa'alot were sung at the ceremony of the Nisuch HaMayim, a beautiful, joyous, exultant ceremony that took place in the Beit HaMikdash on Chag HaSukkot, where throughout the year, the offerings in the Beit HaMikdash were accompanied by libations of wine, specifically on Sukkot, to herald in the start of the rainy season in Eretz Yisrael. there was a water libation that was offered. And the drawing of the water was a ritual, was an event of tremendous joy. The people of Yerushalayim didn't sleep, but rather there was song and feasting and all sorts of holy, holy, joyous festivities the entire night. Until the following morning, the Jews would go to the Ma'ayan HaShiloach to draw the waters that would eventually be poured on the Mizbeach b'Chag HaSukkot. And so again, there is this relationship to water, a relationship that in our day and age, when we don't have the Beit HaMikdash and the Nisuch HaMayim, we do have the repetition of these 15 Shir HaMalot, which are said after the Tefillah of Mincha, after the late evening prayer on the Shabbatot, on the Shabbos days during the winter months. Again, a prayer said during the rainy season, remembering how these prayers brought the waters to a place of bracha, to a place of blessing in the days of David, we hope too that they will initiate or continue the waters of bracha, the waters of blessing in the land of Eretz Israel. That's not all there is. There are layers and layers and layers to discuss here, as deep as those subterranean waters. We're also told that the number 15 here corresponds to the 15 steps between two sections in the Beit HaMikdash, the Ezrat Nashim and the Ezrat Yisrael. And we're told that there were 15 actual physical steps upon which stood the Levim, the Levites, in the Beit HaMikdash. And it was standing on these steps that the Levim would sing the songs of the Shir HaMa'alot. The Radak applies this beyond the time span of the Beit HaMikdash, as the Radak tells us that it's these 15 Shir HaMa'alot that represent not only the steps in the Beit HaMikdash, but they represent the Ma'alot HaGalut, in the time after we had the Beit HaMikdash. These are the steps that Klal Yisrael will take to climb out, to rise from the Galut, ultimately to Eretz Yisrael. These are the chapters that Klal Yisrael will say as they journey up, as they try to climb, step by step, rung by rung, from the initial darkness of the Galut, of the exile, until finally they reach high to the days of Geulah, to the days of redemption. Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch talks about these chapters as those that accompany the Jew on his climb above or beyond to transcend the misery or the frustrations of the Galut. And Rav Hirsch points out that the very ability each one of us has to rise beyond our misery, to rise beyond our struggles or our challenges, and to reach higher and try to touch something a little more exalted, a little more sublime. That ability for a Jew to rise above their circumstances, that itself is a demonstration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's might and the strength he gives to his people. And on this, says Rav Hirsch, there is a Shir HaMa'alos. There is a song that we sing, because in this song we behold the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give people a rung up, to give people a step to climb, to rise above their circumstances, to rise beyond the exile. In understanding again the significance, the power of these chapters, not only is it tied to water, but the number 15 itself is deeply significant. We find this number 15 repeating itself throughout many very important, very significant times. There are 15 years of overlap in the lifespan of the three Avot, 15 years in which Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were all alive. Each morning, we all say the 15 Birkot HaShachal, the 15 Brachot upon arising. There are 15 words of praise in the Kaddish prayer, in the Yishtabach prayer, and in the Tefillah of Emet V'Yatziv that comes as the third of the Birkot Kriyat Shema. There are 15 words in the Birkat Kohanim, in the bracha that is given by the Kohanim to all of Klal Yisrael, which must be said, of course, with love. There are 15 days in the lunar cycle of the month in which the moon grows, the moon gets larger, again signifying the 15 days of Aliyah. As the Midrash Shochar Tov says, this is not called Shir HaMa'ala, a song of ascent, but Shir HaMa'alot, in plural, song of ascents, because when a Jew climbs, he does not climb only one rung. He does not climb only one step. But once a Jew sets his or her sights higher, we jump. And we jump many rungs, we jump many steps, we climb high, we touch the stars. The number 15 actually is representative of a pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Dalid, where we are told, Beka Hashem Tzor Olamim. Based on this pasuk, Chazal tell us, in Menachot Chavtet Amud Bet, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created our worlds using his name spelled Yud and He. We say this as Ka because we don't want to say Hashem's name in vain, but it is the sound that is created from the Yud and the He together. We're told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Olam Haba, the world to come, with the letter Yud. And Olam Hazeh, the present physical world that we call home, for better or worse, with the letter He. And here is where we tie it all together. When a Jew, whether it was David HaMelech, Yaakov Avinu, the Levim in the Beit HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael Begalut, myself, yourself, each of us as women who look to grow in our own homes, in our own places. When we take the challenges and the energies of this difficult world, this physical world that we live in, and we try to dedicate them to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, we don't ignore this world, the world of the letter He. We don't ignore its pulls and its temptations and recede into a cave somewhere in loneliness. But we engage with the world that we were put into, but elevate it. Take what it has to offer and grow from it. Take its challenges and look back and say, I've become a better person through what I endured. When we take this world and elevate it, dedicate myself in it to a higher calling, then we are using the very challenges to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that case, we unite two worlds. We actually elevate the world of He to touch the Olam Haba, the world of Yud, and in that way we make Hashem's name more complete. So again, in general, the number 15 always indicates a step-by-step program of growth, of taking this world and elevating it to become closer to the higher world, and thus bringing both worlds to their completion and to their fulfillment. An idea referenced by the imagery of water, water which rushes forth, which gushes forth, in other words, which strains against its boundaries and tries to fill every space. We don't run away from the world. Like water, we gush and bring the world with us, with energy, with a flow, in trying to elevate this world closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in doing so, in trying to climb the ladder to go above or beyond or higher than whatever is pulling us down in this physical world. Here are the introductory ideas in bringing us closer to an understanding or an appreciation of the treasures we hope to unlock as we go forward through the next 15 chapters. These are chapters that are very special. These are chapters with which we take the world that we live in, starting from some of the depths, some of the lows of the galut, but then hopefully elevating them and bringing them higher with a force that reminds us of water, a gushing, unfettered, energetic flow, where ultimately through these 15, we go higher and higher and higher from the depths and the pain of the galut to actually touch the highest heights and hopes of the ultimate geula. It's a journey I'm excited to take us through, and we don't have much time, but just to dip our fingers into our toes into the water, let's start to get an understanding of Perek Kuf Chaf, chapter 120, and this will be the introduction to the chapters to come. Shir HaMa'alos, a song of ascents, El Hashem, Batsarasali Karasi Vaya'anini. And again, as the first of the Shir HaMa'alot, this one will be more galut focused. This one will be rooted a little more in the quicksand, in the muddy waters of the galut. But as we'll see through the 15, we'll rise higher and higher. In my times of distress, I called out to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he answered me. Hashem hatzil nafshi misfas sheker milashon remiyah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've always answered me. And now at this point, save me. And it's here where David identifies one of the greatest dangers of the Galut, which is the danger of people who lie and the danger of people who are deceitful. David finds himself constantly surrounded and threatened by such people. And this is the trademark of the Galut that he's in. Save me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Ma yiten lecha u ma yosif lach lashon remia. What do you gain, you slanderer, you who have a tongue that speaks falsehood? What do you gain from this? And Rashi and the Radak quote Chazal, who see David here addressing the very tongue itself. What more, ma yiten lecha u ma yosif lach? What more mouth can God give to you to protect you from lying, to protect you from slander, to protect you from using your enormous power instead of for positive to harm and to destroy? Says David, according to Chazal, he already gave you two layers of protection, the teeth and the lips, to keep you shut to not do harm. And yet you sneak out and you destroy. What more can God give you to just keep yourself shut and not destroy and not poison? Because a deceitful tongue can be likened in Pasuk Dalid, verse 4, to chitzei gibor shenunim im gacha leresamim, to the arrow of a mighty that is sharpened, a mighty archer. The danger of an arrow is that it can harm someone even at a distance. And the archer who sends this arrow doesn't see the victim, and so therefore cannot show any mercy on the one that he is sending it towards. Further, the imagery, the coals of wood that is called a rotem wood. What is unique about the rotem wood is that the coals made of this particular wood would be cool on the outside, but still burning hot on the inside. And these are the people who seem to be friendly on the outside, but inside may be burning with a hatred and a venom that can kill. Continues David, Oyali ki gelti meshech, shechanti im ale kedal. Woe to me, because I've been for such a very long time dwelling in this galut. I've dwelt in the tents of Kedal, which is identified by the Radak and Ibn Ezra as a tribe that descends from the Arab empire of Ishmael. Says David, for a very, very long time, I've been dwelling in the Galut, surrounded by these people who use their tongues for ill will. Rabat shachnala nafshi imsonei shalom. My soul has dwelt for a very long time with those who hate peace. However, Pasuk Zayin, ani shalom, I am peace. Rav Hirsch says David here identifies with the mission of every person in Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us to a world whose currency and whose language is falsehood and are lies, because we are meant to be the spokespeople of truth. The Jew is the one who speaks truth. The Jew is the one who speaks peace, no matter what else is the language spoken in the rest of the world. It's no wonder that they view us with hostility, because we're speaking a different language. Where they have these sharpened tongues and mouths of deceit, ani shalom. I, as a Jew, represent peace and speak peace. V'chi adaber, but when I speak, heima lemilchama, they speak only words of war. Again, this is the perek, this is the chapter that begins from the dismal place of Galut. But as we've said, we're now for the next few days going to be in the Shir HaMa'alot, where with the words of David, we will be rising above the misery of the world we're in, transcending that and going to a higher place. And in that effort, Bezrat Hashem, with the magic number 15, we will be elevating this world that we live in, the world of Hay, to touch and fulfill and become complete with the upper world, with the world of Yud. Thank you for studying the Ilei Nishmot Helen Moskovitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Sheirit HaPleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.